Today we continue kind of really, I hate to use the term wrap up this series on Spark, because really we don't ever stop. There's so many ways that we can infuse new energy into our spiritual growth. But last week, as Charlie alluded to earlier, we talked about giving and we talked about the blessings, and we talked about the responsibility and the privilege of partnering with God in that, building his kingdom through the returning to him just a portion of what it is that he gives us. And just as a reminder, I hope that you've been praying and preparing for next month in April when we do our tithe challenge, that if you weren't here last week, just to kind of lay that out, I challenged everybody to be thinking about in April, on April 15th, we're going to do a tithe challenge, which basically says we're going to really commit over a 90-day period to truly give 10% back to the Lord. And we do that not with a expectation of automatic blessing. And if I left anybody with an impression last week, and I apologize if I did, that God is somehow like this ATM machine, that if we put in the right code, then we'll just get all these kind of financial deposits into our account. And that's not how it works. I won't go into details, but afterwards, you know, I had Dell, my father-in-law, share some of his testimony, and on Sunday afternoon, we went back and forth and talked about so many more that had been through our married life and their married life, and many of you could share, I'm sure, hundreds of different ministry or opportunities or testimonies where God has blessed you. And it's not always that it was huge amounts of money. All right, I'm not, last week, if I left anybody with the impression that I'm telling you that, you know, this whole idea, and you've seen it on TV, if I give a dollar, he'll give me 100. If I give 1,000, he'll give me 100,000. That's just all hogwash. And if you hear that from anybody behind a pulpit, just turn it off. Because that's not how God operates. But we give because it sparks in us something. It moves us beyond ourselves. And one of the things that occupies and preoccupies our mind mostly is our money. Yesterday, my daughter and I went out to USI to do a college campus, and one of the things that they talked about was money. And lots of it. And they had no qualm talking about it. So I don't know that we as the church should be too embarrassed about discussing the fact that God's kingdom does require investment on our part of our time, of our talents, but yes, also of our treasure. Today I want to talk about something that may be even a little bit more difficult. They say that sometimes that different studies over periods of time say that the most difficult thing next to actually like facing death, the most anxiety that a person ever has is standing up and doing public speaking. So I die a little every week, just want you to know. And even in an interpersonal relationship, to talk to somebody outside of your comfort zone is anxious, isn't it? Today, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The spark that we want to talk about today is to tell. We've talked about worship. We've talked about giving. We've talked about all these different ways that we can interact with God. But one of the ways that we can spark spiritual growth is by telling. Just to kind of set the background for this, this is Jesus, he's about to ascend into heaven. He's spent 3 years with his disciples, training them, pouring into them, leading them to the point where he's ready to leave. And here's how he leaves. Verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." Now just think about it. You're one of these disciples. You've been with him when he's healed people. You were with him when he fed thousands of people. He's done all these amazing things. The most amazing of which, by the way, is that he died, was confirmed in the grave for 3 days, and he's back alive. Boy, if anybody has a platform to go around talking, it's Jesus, right? And what does Jesus do? Peace out. I'm bouncing because I'm out. You're now the witnesses. Go and tell. Now, we all want to picture the disciples as being these amazing holy men, and they became that. But in this moment, you can just probably picture their face. Like, what is going on? He's leaving. You ever have a group of friends, and you get together, and they start doing that little whisper thing? Like, did you see that? What's he talking about? But praise God, they were obedient, because here we are 2,000 years later, because they were witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the world, parts of the world they didn't even know existed yet. And so that call, this command, this desire for Christ to have us be witnesses still goes out today. This is one of the biggest challenges for Christians. But I'm going to break it down into three simple steps. Step number one is prayer. How do we evangelize? How do we tell people? Number one is prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, he was the one who wrote the most in the New Testament. He is a kind of hero among heroes of New Testament disciples and apostles and teachers of God's word. Here's what he says. Pray for us, speaking of himself and those who are ministering with him. He says, pray for us that God may open doors for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Boy, I take some encouragement from this. And here's why. This is Paul. Now, you don't know Paul, his history, his story. He was a very educated man in the Jerusalem studies of the law. In order to get to his position, he had to memorize. Now, we all struggle memorizing some scripture, right? For Paul to obtain his position that he was in the Jewish leadership, he memorized the first five books of the Bible. If it was education, he had it. If it was experience, he had that. Now, for a lot of us, if we have experience mixed with education, we're confident that we're going to do a good job, right? That's the message that we sell ourselves. But here's Paul. He's saying, look, you need to pray. He's recognizing it's not him. Pray that God opens a door for my message. He was not the one going around being like, I'm Paul. And he didn't have a PR team going ahead of time and setting up stages and doing all these things. And he's just showing up. He's like, God, open doors. Who do I speak to today? Now, there's nothing wrong with like Billy Graham. We talked about Billy Graham just a few weeks ago, him passing, and that's exactly what he did. He had teams that went ahead of time. They set up stadiums. Millions of people came and heard the message. That's one way of doing it. But the other way of doing it is like Paul. Paul went into a town. He was like, okay, God, who am I going to talk to? And one person became two, and two people became 10, and 10 people became hundreds, and hundreds became thousands. That's exactly how we are supposed to be doing it. If we all say to ourselves, we can't be Billy Graham's, that's okay. But we could be Paul's. We could go into our daily lives and say, okay, God, who today? Pray that this morning, somebody in my life, that there will be a door open that I could share the message. Now, how many of us can pray? 100%. 100%. Boy, you don't have to really get out of your comfort zone yet, right? You can pray in your PJs sitting on your couch at home. You can pray still sitting in the, laying in your bed before you got out. You can pray in your car on the way to school or work. God, who open the doors. And it's so important that we do this. And you want to know why? I just experienced this yesterday. It's because we are great about spiritual 20/20 hindsight. What do I mean by that? Yesterday, as I mentioned, Jalen, my daughter, and I, we got to go on a tour of the university to see about looking into attending school there. And long story short, we kind of got withdrawn from our group that we were a part of. And so we were given a private tour, one little student ambassador with this little, she's a senior in college, but you know, when you're 47, she's little. She took us on this tour, and we were asking questions. It was a really great responsive kind of situation where we could get one-on-one answers. It was really good. And we were asking about different groups and stuff, and I asked about the faith community. And it didn't strike me at the moment. But later last night, as I was thinking about my day and praying, and I was like, God's like, you missed the door. And I was like, what door are you talking about? And here's what the door was. I said, tell me about the faith community here on the campus. And she paused, this young lady paused, and she goes, I think that there's some people who are religious that meet at this one place. And I was like, oh. Now, in my mind, I'm in information gathering mode, so I kind of glossed over that moment thinking like, oh, she doesn't know, so I'll have to ask somebody else. But that was the door. As I look back on it in 2020, that was the chance. Well, let me tell you about my religious faith. So obviously you're not a person of religious faith. She didn't know about the faith community. She must not be a person of faith. I was laying in bed last night. I'm like, great, God, I'm teaching tomorrow on evangelism. And I missed my first point. Pray that the doors are open. God's like, yeah, I know. I'm telling you that to be transparent, to be honest, and to tell you that I hate when I have those hindsight 2020 moments. We need to be like Paul, praying proactively ahead of time. God, open the door. Give me eyes to see that the door is open. That was the moment. I can't go back. So step one is prayer. Step two is to invite. Now, I didn't give you ushers a heads up before church, and I apologize. But if the ushers who collected the offering a while ago, if you would go back and see Jeff Curl in just a moment, I'm going to need your help. So if you ushered earlier today and you could go back and see Jeff Curl, right now, I would appreciate it, because in just a moment, I'm going to need your help. Step two is to invite. In John chapter 1, we have the story about how Andrew brought Simon his brother, to see Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John had said, and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He's like, you got to come see this guy. He invited him to come and see Jesus. Boy, thank God he did. This is a man who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 people joined the church. This is a person who helped just spread the word of the gospel throughout Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Here's the statistic, some interesting statistics. Number one is 9 out of 10 people who are unchurched said that they would attend church if somebody would invite them. So here we are as Christians, because here's the second stat. Only 2% of American Christians have invited somebody to church in the last year. 98% of us are over here going, man, I don't know if I should invite somebody. I'm kind of that's out of my comfort zone. What if they say no? What if they start asking questions? Like, I don't know if they really would want to go. But studies have shown that 9 out of 10, some studies say it's only 8 out of 10, so if you want to be real conservative or pessimistic, 80 to 90% of people said that they would attend if they would just be asked. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you ask somebody to do something, and boy, last week I mentioned that my phone went dead and I didn't have a phone, which some of you guys still called me and texted me this last week, which was kind of funny. When I got a phone, I turned it on, I had all these messages. So if you did, I apologize if you didn't get an answer back. But here's the thing. This last week, there's a couple times where I didn't have my phone, so somebody would say, like, hey, let's schedule something, or like, let me tell you something, and I reached immediately for my, like, I needed to have some physical thing, because if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember it. And so some of us, over the years, we've asked people, like, hey, would you like to come to church? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. As soon as that person turns and walks away, do you think they remember anything about being asked to go to church? Well, studies show that it's not. They do not remember. We are people of tactile memory. We love to have things in our hands that we can give people. And so that's where I'm going to invite the ushers to come up right now to the front. And they're going to hand out cards. I want everybody to take at least 3 cards. Here's what the card, you guys can start distributing those, that'd be awesome. Here's what the card looks like, it fits right in your pocket. Which, by the way, I had this in my pocket yesterday when that girl said. So, there's no judgment from up here, right? You guys, if you hand one of these out, you're doing better than your pastor, okay? Here's this card. It says Easter at New Hope Community Church, April 1st. We're having 2 services. We're having 2 services at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. On the back, it has our location, and it has a website link that if they take this and they go to that link, it's a landing page on our website that has information about the service that morning. It's basically, for a first-time guest, what can you expect? Talks about parking, talks about how do you enter into the building. If you have kids, I already put the registration form out there. They can print it off and fill it out ahead of time so they can come in and just drop it off and get their kids checked in. We're trying to make this experience as seamless as possible. We want to welcome as many people. Because Easter and Christmas are 2 of the times that a lot of people who don't normally go to church would go to church. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to have these cards on you. Do better than your pastor and hand them out. I actually did hand one out Friday night, but that was another story. If you don't know who to ask, I want you to look in your bulletins. So hopefully everybody got a bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin today, I suggest you pick one up on the way out. In the bulletin, in the announcement section, we talked about the Easter, and I have a spot there, 3 names of people that you could pray for. And so, again, we could pray, and if God's going to answer that prayer, I want you to write that down. So who do we think about? Well, there's 3 circles. Number 1, we think about our family. Think about immediately in your family who are not going to church. Secondly, think about coworkers. People you're going to see every day anyways. Now, you probably can spot a few that don't go to church. And if you ask them to go to church and they're surprised that you go to church, that's another sermon. but your coworkers. How about this? Now, I know the weather's been kind of cold, but supposedly it's going to be nice this week. How about your neighbors? Now, you probably could tell if your neighbors are believers or not, right? Pick the one you're like, I'm pretty sure they don't go to church. Ask them to come to church. Here's the card. Give them the card. That way when they walk in, that way it's Sunday morning and they're like, my neighbor invited me to church. What's the name of that church again? New community, new something. Where are they? I don't know what street they're on. Car, van, road. I don't know. They'll have it. All right, so we pray. Step one was prayer. Step two is that we invite. Now, how impactful is inviting somebody? Well, I want to demonstrate it right now by saying this. If you are at New Hope because somebody invited you to come to church here, would you please stand? This is why we invite people. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. People will come if you invite them. Now, step three, and this may be the more difficult one for all of us, is to testify. Now, I won't take the time to read all of Acts chapter 26, but if you have a time this afternoon or this week, I'm encouraging you to do so. Acts chapter 26, Paul is in chains. He stands before the king, and he gives a testimony of his life. And it develops a pattern that we see in Paul in other situations that we can also emulate. And it goes like this. In Acts chapter 6, verses 4 through 11, Paul tells about his life before Christ. Before Christ. He said, I was a dedicated man of the law. I followed the letter of the law. I did what I thought was right, to the point that I pursued Christians and had them in prison, had them killed. But, he said, on one of my journeys to go do this, which is the next part, chapter 26, verses 12 through 18, he encountered Christ. First part of your testimony, what was your life before Christ? Second part of your testimony, how did you encounter Christ? For Paul, it was on a road to Emmaus. It was a blinding light where Christ spoke to him audibly and said, why do you persecute me? Why are you hurting me? What are you doing? And he revealed to him the truth of Christ was a resurrected Savior. Now, it's not my experience. Probably not yours. But what is your experience? How did you find Christ? Was it in a stadium filled with millions of people that came to hear Billy Graham or some other evangelist? Or was it one-on-one from reading a tract or a pamphlet in your own bedroom by yourself? Was it at a church and in a revival or just it was a Sunday and they gave the message? What was it? Where did you encounter Christ? Because each one of us encounter him differently. And the third thing was, here's my life after Christ. What's happened since then? Now, obviously, Paul had a little bit to say about that. And you and I have a lot to say. If you're like me, I grew up in church, so sometimes it seems like, well, I don't remember Jesus not being in my life. I encountered Christ when I was 6 years old. I really gave my life to him when I was 11 years old. But it wasn't until, for me personally, when I was in my 20s, that I really, truly, yeah, I had accepted Christ as my Savior. Well, I knew that in him, I was not going to go to hell, that I had eternal life to be in heaven with him. But I want to tell you right now, Jesus was nowhere near the throne of my life. That was occupied by me. When life's problems came, when storms came, I figured them out. Not so well, might I add. But then there came a time when total devastation occurred, and I was at the end of me. And I had nowhere to turn but to the one who I should have turned to years ago. And I finally stepped off that throne in my life, and I let him take it. You use the analogy that you want to use. You said, hey, I quit driving, let him be my driver. He's my pilot, whatever term you want to use. But each and one of us who truly get to the point where we're at the end of us and we let Christ take over and he is the one who's guiding our life, we have a story to tell. Well, has it been perfect since then? No. Because there's a lot of times I'm like, Jesus, move over. I'm getting back up here. He's like, all right. Make a mess. Oh, Jesus, go ahead. But here's the thing. In the times when I let Christ be the Lord of my life, when I let Christ direct my life, there is peace, there is joy, there's life. If you don't recognize in life what's going on, there's three simple steps. If you don't have a testimony, here's what you need to do. Recognize, record, and report. Recognize what God is doing or has done in your life. Record it. Write it down. And then report it. Tell it to somebody else. I know many of you in this room, and I have heard your testimonies. I've heard your stories. And you guys have had some real encounters with Christ. You have a testimony to tell somebody. I was in this storm. Job loss, family loss, death, destruction, life, challenging symptoms in my body, and here's what happened, and Christ walked through with me, and here I'm on the other side of it. Here's my testimony. It doesn't take a Paul or a Peter or a Billy Graham to be an evangelist. It takes a person who's willing to pray, to invite, and to tell. So my challenge to you this week, and challenge to myself, I'm going to carry these cards, I promise you, I'm going to get rid of these cards this week. I want us to see people here on Easter Sunday morning that doesn't know Christ. Because here's my promise. Charlie has some awesome worship music that's Christ-centered, that's Bible-based lyrics. They're going to hear the message through song. I promise you this. My message is going to be straight from the Word, and it's going to be a message of hope. As Charlie said earlier, we have all this stuff in this life. Oh, I hope the weather's nice. No, real hope. Real hope. The kind of hope that when you're at the end of yourself, you need to hear. As Scripture tells us, how can they hear unless they're asked? And how will they ask unless you tell? So this week, think of those three people. Pray for God to open your eyes, open your hearts, and find those people you can invite.